Hair loss is a common complication after metabolic and bariatric surgery. I see many women particularly that are concerned about having hair loss before even undergoing their bariatric surgery. Having said that, I know some of my male patients are concerned about it as well. You can never assume. Today we will discuss why it happens and how you can prevent or reduce hair loss after weight loss surgery. So let's get started.
Welcome to Reverse the Post-Op Regain podcast. I'm your host, Saraya Nikwan, a weight loss surgery dietitian, and I am excited that you're here today. This podcast is for anyone struggling with nutrition and weight years after bariatric surgery. You might be feeling confused, overwhelmed, and not quite sure what your body needs after that first year post-op. This is where I can help you. Join me every week where you'll leave supported and motivated to take the next step in your nutrition journey. Thank you for being here with me today. Now let's get started.
Hair loss after weight loss surgery is often caused by the stress of the surgery itself and subsequent inadequate protein or micronutrient and vitamin intake. I'm no hairdresser, but from what I can understand, hair growth happens in four stages. So the four stages of hair growth are called anagen, catagen, telogen, and exogen. Each phase lasts for a different length of time, and it starts off in the anagen phase. So the anagen phase is that growth phase. And after that, the hair cycle enters a short transitional phase known as the catagen phase, and this signals the end of active hair growth. Hair is cut off from the blood supply and the cells that produce new hair. The third stage is the telogen phase, or also known as the resting period, where hair remains in their follicles but is not actively growing. And the final stage is exogen, which is where the individual hair strands are released from the follicles and fall out. Then the whole process starts again. So the effect of having weight loss surgery causes a type of hair loss or alopecia, which is known as telogen effluvium, that results in a wide area of scalp hair loss approximately 3 months following the triggering cause. In our case, it is the surgery itself. The body does go under a significant amount of stress, so this coupled with the surgery itself and the change in diet and micronutrient intake all plays a huge part in increasing the risk of hair loss after weight loss surgery. Please remember this type of hair loss is not unique to just weight loss surgery. It also happens after a period of serious illness, pregnancy, postpartum, low-calorie diets such as crash diets, and emotional periods of time such as a divorce or a death in the family. So how common is hair loss? The studies range from about 15.4% of patients experiencing hair loss within 3 months after a gastric bypass, where another study found incidences were up towards 55 and 40% for the sleeve gastrectomy and the Roux-en-Y bypass, respectively. More invasive metabolic procedures had an incidence rate of up to 70% of patients. So I guess you could say it is a common complication after bariatric surgery, regardless of which type you undergo. So overall, it concluded that around 57% of bariatric patients experience weight loss surgery-induced hair loss. It is also less common as time goes on. However, if you are not eating well, taking your vitamins or eating enough protein, for example, then you might find that you'll experience some hair loss later on beyond that initial 3 months post-op. It can be a delayed effect, and you might have poor intake for a month, but you might also then see the effects of that on your hair 3 months after that month of poor eating due to the way the hair grows. So this is by no means unique to just the first part of weight loss surgery in that first initial phase. This can happen ongoing depending on your nutrition and your vitamin levels. Other contributing factors included lower blood levels of zinc, ferritin, also known as the iron stores, or folic acid levels. The patients that had more hair loss had lower levels of those vitamins compared to those that didn't have any hair loss. It was also noted that younger women had more hair loss than the older women. So what can you do to support your hair? Nutrition. The nutrients possibly related to hair loss are obviously protein is definitely a big one. Iron, zinc, essential fatty acids like omega-3s, vitamin B12 and biotin. To start off with, protein energy malnutrition can cause a reduction of our proteins that go around our body, such as albumin. It can also cause a loss of muscle mass, weakness, and alopecia or hair loss. So if you are experiencing hair loss, you do need to make sure that you're eating enough protein. Protein is the building block of every single living cell in the body. Everything you see on yourself is made from some type of protein. For example, hair protein is keratin, and that's the one that the body makes specifically for our hair, skin, and nails. Now, in times of stress, undernutrition, and in fact, when the body needs to be in quote-unquote survival mode, the body doesn't care about making hair and nails. Let's face it, it's cosmetic. The more concerning part of the body is making sure that the heart is functioning, that the cells are reproducing and not damaging and breaking and causing diseases. So in times of survival, the body will focus on the essential functions rather than the non-essential functions such as your hair and your nails. From our perspective, we see it on the outside. We can't always see the heart and the lungs and the liver on the inside. So it matters to us, but to make sure that we're supporting the body, make sure that you're eating enough protein and beyond that bare minimum, give it a little bit extra so that it can use that extra protein to build the hair, skin, and nails. So the current guidelines, it varies on which ones you read, but the bare minimum 60 grams of protein I feel is never enough, and that doesn't even cut the mustard for a large proportion of my patients. So some newer general guidelines have come out, and they've recommended an intake of about 80 grams of protein for women and 100 grams of protein for men, or 1.5 grams per kilo of your ideal body weight. Now, that should be individualized by a dietitian or someone on your surgery team, as it always goes on your body weight and it should be individualized and not just some arbitrary number. However, if you have had more of a malabsorptive procedure like the SIPSADIS or the bilopancreatic diversion, BPD, you have an element of malabsorption of protein. So if you've had that procedure, you should really aim for an intake of at least 90 grams of protein. So to refresh your memory on where protein is found in food, I have added in a protein table in the show notes for you to download. It is also important to try pick more protein sources that have a high biological value, such as meat, seafood, tofu, and dairy, as they contain more of these essential amino acids, specifically lysine, than plant-based sources. Lysine has been shown to reduce the risk of hair loss as well, which is why we're focusing on higher quality protein sources. Now, key nutrients to focus on are zinc, iron, B12, omega-3, and biotin. But before I go on, due to the nature of this platform, I cannot give individual advice. Me sitting in my seat talking to you, I don't know your story, I don't know your situation, don't know your exercise or your history. So first consider when taking or thinking or changing anything in related to your diet or supplements that you speak to your dietitian or you speak to your medical team before acting on the recommendations I will present. If you are one of my patients, we can talk about it in a consult. I'm more than happy to do so. But since I'm not everyone's dietitian, just want to be clear that it's not always the best interest for yourself changing it on your own. So with the legalities out of the way, every single patient after weight loss surgery should take a specific bariatric supplement. There are plenty of the market, but I have the most experience and trust with BN Healthy. I have an affiliate code with this company and it gets you 20% off their entire store. So the discount code is 2020SN that you can use to get 20% off your order. And I'll place that in the show notes. This is not sponsored by BN Healthy, I'm just an affiliate of the company. So beyond that normal bariatric multivitamin, which often contains at least 15 milligrams of zinc, there is more harm or risk to take any additional zinc on top of this, unless there is a documented deficiency. Now, this is because zinc can be a mineral that builds up in the body and it can cause an imbalance of other nutrients. So more is not better. Other tips in terms of taking your vitamins is you should make sure that your vitamin is at least 2 hours away from antacids such as anti-reflux medication or Gaviscon and caffeine such as tea and coffee. These block the absorption of certain nutrients. And on that note, there should be at least 2 hours between any multivitamin containing iron or calcium and thyroid medication, and 2 hours between each multivitamin dose to increase the absorption, and 2 hours between the multivitamin and calcium supplements. So it is a bit of a juggle, but I would recommend you speak with your dietitian about the optimal timing of your supplements and use a pill box so that you can really have it all organized so you don't miss one of your supplements. This will ultimately help you increase the absorption. Now, for omega-3s, you could add 15 mils of flaxseed oil in either liquid or capsule form, or take at least 2 to 3 serves of oily fish like salmon, tuna in oil, or sardines a week. Another vitamin is biotin, but this is often added to the bariatric vitamin, so you can have benefit up to 2.5 grams of biotin per day from food and supplements. There are single-dose biotin on the market, which I would go for specifically if you were interested in adding it in, but I wouldn't recommend any compound hair, skin, and nail supplements as they can cause an imbalance of the nutrients. Also, in regards to biotin, is that it does influence some blood tests. So if you were having a blood test, I would recommend you speak with the pathology company on whether you need to stop taking it for whichever length of time before that actual blood test. Vitamin B12 is another nutrient to be mindful of. We do have a store in the liver of around 3 to 5 years. However, it is recommended to take 300 to 500 nanograms a day, or UG a day, which I'm pretty sure is nanograms. And it's often contained in the bariatric vitamins, so it's not too much of a concern. But if your blood work is low and your stores are low for whatever reason, you may need to take an additional supplement of vitamin B12. And this goes the same for iron. So ferritin is the storage of iron in our blood. Now, it can get low or it can drop consistently with each blood test, so you may benefit from adding additional iron. Iron is a very specific supplement, and you do need to talk to your doctor or your surgery team or dietitian before adding it in, as you can overdose on iron. So it's not something you just supplement willy-nilly. A significant amount of these nutrients are already included in a lot of bariatric vitamins. So check the bariatric vitamins and what you're taking. And if you want to add anything extra, it is beneficial to run this by your dietitian or your surgery team. Apart from focusing on your nutrition, I have had some patients cut their hair shorter as recommended by their hairdresser. So this leads to less tension or pressure on the hair, so it's less likely to fall out. Also on that note, hair growth shampoos and conditioners, try to be mindful to get one that does what it says. The hair will fall out anyway, so I'm inclined to say that it may be a waste of money to buy the hair growth shampoos and conditioners. Finally, what is often the most hardest to do is to relax. So find an activity that reduces your stress levels. Focus more on gratitude and what you have rather than what you don't have. Practice mindful breathing. Aim for 3 deep breaths in and out when you notice your heart rate increasing. Exercise, so being active, can reduce your stress levels and increase endorphins. Try to be physically active daily, even in small bouts, to assist with stress. So that can also help doing a little bit of exercise while there's an ad break on TV or taking a 15-minute walk at lunchtime. I'd also encourage you to take a time out, get some fresh air, read your favorite book or watch a movie or your favorite TV show. Do anything you can to lower your stress levels, because stressing about your hair will make the hair fall out more. And lastly, I do want you to remember that hair loss is temporary, especially in those initial phases post-op. It feels like your hair is going to fall completely out. I promise you, it shouldn't fall out 100%. So it is important to realize that it is a temporary process and your hair will grow back as long as you're eating enough protein, you're getting the nutrients you need, you are taking your vitamins as prescribed. But if you are still experiencing that significant hair loss and you are doing all of these things and it's lasting longer than 6 months post-op, I need you to consult with a medical professional. This would be also important if you aren't seeing any actual new hair growth. See, I see people have their hair falling out, but you can also see the baby hairs coming. So you'll notice that when you start to regrow your hair, it'll come around your temples, much like a child's hair grows when they first get it, around the temples, and it's really soft and baby-like. So that's a good sign that your hair is going back into that anagen phase. But if you don't see that well beyond the 6 months post-op and you're not seeing any sign of it slowing down, please consult a medical professional, because that means that there's something going a little bit wrong there. So relax. Hair loss is completely normal, especially between the 3 to 6 months post-op. And it should only last that amount of time, but it can happen later on if you aren't eating well and if you aren't taking your vitamins. Today was a very in-depth episode, I hope you found some knowledge that you can take and apply if it is relevant to you. And as always, I look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thank you for joining me on Reverse the Postdoc Regain podcast. If you would like to learn more about what I do, head to @TheBariatricCollective on Instagram or Facebook, or visit us online at www.thebariatriccollective.com.au. And reach out if you need support reversing weight regain or anything related to bariatric surgery. I'd love to hear from you. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I'd love for you to take a moment to review the show if you found it helpful, or share it with a few friends. I look forward to chatting with you next time.